Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
You know what? I just want to quickly continue where Brother Jonathan stopped without much interruption. But let's take our declaration as usual of understanding because we are going to study. All right? I want to let's go then. Now I declare. And revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, once again, welcome to the School of Prayer. And I want to just continue because the Spirit, of course, began to speak when our brother Jonathan was leading the prayers for the first 30 minutes of today's meeting. And I want to just pick it up from there. We have been looking at the gospel of life and health and trying to emphasize that full, total, complete healing, fruitfulness, productivity, strength, vitality is our portion. That is what God designed. If anything is going against His will, it is because, in summary, an enemy has done this. A wrong seed was sown somewhere along the line. Now, sometimes that enemy is not the devil, but the person is cooperating with the devil. It could be a human being. It's never an angel. It's never God Himself. It's always either Satan. In fact, not Satan. It's always us. Satan working with us. So Satan brings up an idea and we go for that idea and we introduce problems into the society. We introduce problems into our lives. That is just the way it works. Now, you may have problems that you did not introduce. Somebody has introduced it and you participated or you are participating, right? You are participating in what somebody else introduced into life. That's just the way it works. Okay? It's never, listen. God doesn't invent problems for us. We do. Does God ever punish people? The answer is yes. Please, I'll get that again in a moment. I can't stop preaching on that thing enough. The doctrine that goes around saying God does not punish, does not do anything evil. Like one man said, it is an assumption for... Who said it? Anyway, it's all over the Bible. That God kills and makes alive. You know, Hannah said it. Okay? Many people have said it. This is an assumption. It's not an assumption. It's the Holy Spirit that came upon Anna. Please, let's go over it again. God, all right? We not understand He kills. Please, let me just sit there. He kills. God kills. God will arm Himself and go after those He calls His enemies. And if we go and check it properly in the scriptures, when it speaks like that, it was not speaking to unbelievers. Sometimes God has enemies amongst Christians. When a man will not repent, he has become the Lord's enemy. Please, don't deceive yourself that anybody who calls himself a believer is doing what is right. And don't assume that if you are doing what is not right, God will not say anything. God eventually answers. He may be slow, but eventually He will answer. Please, many things just come into my spirit to say, don't tolerate unrighteousness in your own life. Don't justify it. If you are doing what is not right, stop. Urgently. You don't know when the cup of iniquity will be full. You do not know when the cup of iniquity will be full. Don't again classify your iniquity as minor. You don't know what God calls minor in your life. Did you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's life has what is minor. See, generally there's what is minor. And there is what? Major, generally speaking. Jesus called them the weightier matters of the law. Some things are weightier than others. But in each individual life, you don't know what is weighty, you don't know what is small. You know why? Because it's what is called the sin unto death and the sin that is not unto death. That you know something is wrong. Like putting your shoes in the house in the wrong place. That sounds funny, right? Because your wife doesn't like it there. It can be for you the reason why you will not enter into destiny. It sounds crazy, but I know what I'm saying. God spoke to a man. When your people need water, go to that rock, speak to the rock. It's a simple thing. And then he took his staff and struck the rock.
And God said, you will not enter the promised land. If they have left you as one of the members of the 9-person Supreme Court panel, America, or Nigeria, 5-person Supreme Court panel to sit on that matter, you will never pass that kind of judgment. Because to you, it's a minor matter. It's a minor matter. I told him, speak to the rock. He struck the rock. We won't kill him for that. But in the life of Moses, that was a sin unto death. It was so bad, he begged. God said, no, I'm sorry. Can't do anything about that. So if Moses had trivialized what you and I call minor, he would have died so many times. So please, I don't want to sit on that in detail. Just know that one thing you do for yourself, you purge yourself regularly every day. You cleanse your mouth, cleanse your thoughts, cleanse your attitudes. As a teaching that I remembered recently, okay, called which I think a bit of it is inside my book, and The Curse of Eve. And many women don't know, hey, look, there's what is called the curse of Eve. And I want every married woman to come and beg me to do a seminar on the curse of Eve. Anyway, I should. Many people they're in trouble, they don't know. I'll give you what I call the curse of Eve. The man in the house says to the children, I don't want anybody to sit on this chair. It's a trivial thing, right? Okay, the woman heard it. There are 4 children in the house. And the children want to sit. There are 4 other chairs. And they sit on the other chairs. And there's one more needed. And one wants to sit there. So mother says, go and sit there. And the children say, daddy said nobody should sit there. You come up under the curse of Eve. He said, don't worry, sit. You don't know what you have done. It's trivial. But the children, speaking by the Spirit of God, just told you, daddy said. He said, oh, don't worry about it. You trivialized what the word of the assistant God in the house said. Now, it's not the seat that's the issue. God says, did you not hear them say? You should have just simply said, oh, is that what he said? Okay, I don't know why. Let's leave it till he comes. Then you drag a mat and tell one of them, sit on the mat. A lot of people don't know. Wives do it every day. They activate the curse of Eve. Just wake up in the morning, activate it. That is, they don't take his cow. I beg you. See, let me say something to you. I'll try and put my thoughts in order. When Jonathan was saying something earlier, and he was talking about people who go here, and let's go and investigate who stole something. Let me just tell you now, for those of you who didn't hear when he was preaching, when he was praying and admonishing in that area, let me just beg all of you. If you want Satan to come and live in your house, join them. See, your children will be demon-possessed if you're not careful. You won't know why you got to work. And your office caught fire. Literal fire. It starts burning. And they're like, what happened? They left a circuit. It's not a socket. It's a demon you went and collected where you went to investigate who stole something. It is called consulting witches and mediums. Go and read your scriptures where God placed a... See, in Israel, if you did it, they stoned you to death. There are things you don't do. What they call witches that Israel was commanded to eliminate. Well, what you and I call, Babalawo, just go and investigate. It's not people that say, I will kill somebody for you. No. They do divination. They speak to the dead on your behalf. They investigate what happened during your birth. They are the ones that divine what happened to your placenta. They are the ones that sit down and say, who are those? Those are the ones that God told Israel, wipe them out. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. You know why God says so? People don't know the mind of God. What he did is that, see, you don't get the point. This world, there's a massive conflict going on, which God left this earth as a theater for the execution of that conflict. So anytime you do what is wrong, you play into the hands of the enemy. You tell demons, come in, come in, come in, come in. Demons, angels, spirits, don't come into this earth until we invite them. They can't. You know how they come in? It's when something is missing. And boys left the church to cross the road to somebody to go and do divination to find out for them. Or you're having problems. You did not consult the Lord. You went to one man, a prophet of Egypt, a Balaam, do you understand, amongst the Gentiles, the people of the land, that God came. See, maybe you don't get what the Lord was doing and what he's still doing to today. Many of the things we call culture. God said, as I live, I must wipe them out. Anybody that patronizes them, I wipe them out with them. There are cultures we have God has sworn against. He has taken an oath that by the year 2028, that thing will not exist anymore. Any Christian participating, killing with them. That is why, as far as I'm concerned, the worst preachers of this our generation are those that say God doesn't do anything. He'll never do anything good or bad to you. Especially when it's bad, don't worry about it. You're a Christian, you give your life to Christ. God doesn't care who you have given your life to. It's who you are living by his precepts.
Yes, sir.
You give your life to Christ, you're living by the precepts of the world. You give your life to Christ. The precepts of the world are the things you are living by. God says, as I live, you die with them. Go and check it. When God, Jesus talked about hellfire, you know what he said? He said it was prepared for the devil and who? His angels, not for human beings. But he said, I'm sending people there. Why? If you behave like the devil and his demons, you go with them. That's why he said, it's not those who call me Lord, Lord, that's the issue. Listen, there's what Derek Prince called Satan's traps. Satan's traps. These are little harmless things that appears like by which demons enter into your life and into your home. Things like you pick a newspaper and you read the horoscope, they tell you that you are Capricorn, you are Aries, you are Cancer, you know all of them. All those funny things. And then you know the one that you are. And you pick a newspaper, that's where your eye is going. Don't worry. Fix your eyes there. That's where demons are entering from. And let me tell you something about spirits. They know how to deceive. And listen, if you know the realm of the spirit, this earth is those guys know how to manipulate. They can't determine things that will happen in the future. God doesn't give that to them. But they know things are happening now. Now, what you think is happening, certain things you call future, they're already happening. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Yeah, what's going to happen physically over the next few days, few weeks, few months, they've happened. Those who walk in the realm of the spirit, they can see it. So they say, this will happen by this time. It's like physics and chemistry. You know, you can, if I fire a projectile here, and you just take a snapshot, quickly run it through a very powerful computer, you can tell where it will land. You're not a prophet. You're just a physicist. Do you get my point? You are not a prophet. You are just a physicist. That is why physicists on the earth, they will tell you this particular comet is going to pass close to Saturn in the year 2035 in April, and it will be 6 kilometers away from Saturn. Are they prophets? No, are they prophets?
No.
They're not prophets. They're physicists. What are they projecting? What are they saying? The trajectory. It's called trajectory. This is the planetary forces that pull. They've seen the way things that also happen in the realm of the spirit. So that when they tell this where this is going, it's because they've already seen enough evidence. Those spirits, they do that to people. Not be deceiving you that they saw, they see. They just confuse your life. Please, let me just tell you, don't let any demon speak into your life in trying to help you. There's a relative that was having some problems one time. They now went to a church. Funny enough, one of our Orthodox churches. And then when I heard the solution that the minister there gave to them, I told my wife, they will get into bigger trouble later. This is not deliverance. I said, this is sorcery. This is familiar spirits. This is not deliverance. No, this is not deliverance. I told my wife, this is not deliverance. Anyway, any deliverance does not involve repentance. Do you get my point?
Yes,
giving your life to Christ, walking the truth of Christ. If it comes through identification of agents, it's not deliverance. It's not deliverance. Many years ago, one lady called my wife. Well, she was with us in Enugu, not in my house, I mean just around town for some time. Used to have a lot of... This woman has seen all kinds of troubles. So one day she called my wife. My wife and I were just on the phone for some time. And my wife said, hey... Daddy, the lady said, finally. I said, finally what? That the person who has been afflicting their family has finally confessed. And her father's supposed to be a pastor. I told my wife, call her back and say, shame on her and her father. Shame on the whole family. I said, you don't understand. And you can say it. Did they afflict you? I don't know. I was not there. But that you are so shameless. No, think about it. Pastor didn't show for me. I didn't show up to teach here for 3 weeks. What happened? I'm sick. Okay, fine. Anybody can fall sick. I mean, it's happened. It happened. Paul was sick at the time. The people had nothing. All right? I'm not saying sickness is good. There are things that lead to it. If it was worn out, fine. Then I'm going on the road. My car entered gutter. Light brake. Anyway, airbag deployed because I entered high speed. Okay, it happens. People have accidents, things have like that happen. Then two of my children fall sick and they're in hospital. Ah, okay. Then, I mean, it happens and then they delivered. That's when they were well. Cost me $500,000 to pay hospital bills. And then my wife went to do her hair caught fire at the salon. Because they put a volatile relaxer and there was a spark and pew. Good enough, the fire extinguisher. They quickly quenched the fire. Scalp was only burned lightly. We thank God she's okay. Then I now come after 4 weeks. Praise God. All of you know the affliction that I've passed through in the last 4 weeks. Amen. We've only found out there's my neighbor. So, sir, what's your neighbor? The man and his wife, they're in a coven. They are witches. And you're looking like, man of God. You know, if you still come back here, you're a fool. If you come back to hear me preach, something is wrong with your head. You, see, I'm abusing you now. Because ideally, you'll have said, Pastor, they did that to you. Shame on you. Ideally. You say, Pastor, that means teaching at the end of this road. You go there and go and hear. You hear the word of deliverance. You can't be teaching us. Shame, shame, shame on you. Shame, 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 shame. That's what you should tell me. Do you know if it really happened, shame will not allow me to tell you. I will call my wife and children to decide. People, we don't suffer. Ordinary witches and wizards. See what they have done to us. Please send a message that Kingdom World Ministry is on suspension unless somebody else is going to be doing the work. Because whatever, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Except their rock gave them up. Somebody, something must have given us up. And I come and say, that night we prayed. After we prayed, we saw in the vision, and we saw the man and his wife, and they were wearing white and red, as they were wearing purple and green. They began to say, Herimoya, Herimoya, Herimoya. And that's how my wife's hair caught fire. They say, Herimoya. That's how I landed in the hospital. And they say, that's how I landed in the... You know, you are going to look like this pastor has gone mad. And indeed, he will have gone mad. That day I told my wife, tell your friend, shame on her, shame on her father, shame on all of them. They claim to be Christians and they can come and testify that the affliction they have suffered for not 2 years, not 3 years, not 5 years, for the last 10, 12 years, yes, was caused by somebody who's a witch in the neighborhood. One, it will never happen. But if it ever happened, I wouldn't testify about it. Don't worry, it won't happen. I will go and ask Jesus Christ to show me where he rose up from the dead from. You see me, I go to Jerusalem. You won't know where pastor traveled. I just disappear. I'm going to wait for Jesus there. So Jesus, appointment in Jerusalem. We are here. Just come and show you me where they buried you and when you. Because this one I'm looking at, you didn't rise up from the dead. You never died. Stop deceiving me. When ordinary Yaje will be doing me like that. Tell the truth. I can spit in the face of any witch I don't give a hoot. If a cat cross my path, I will kick the cat. It starts revolving around the moon. You say you're a witch, turn to cat. That's when you know that Tom and Jerry is real life. When I give you a kick, you'll be revolving around Jupiter for a long time. Who gives a hoot what you are? So those who are doing divination for you, don't let them deceive you. A lot of them are nothing but deceivers. A lot of those people, they inject evil spirits into your lives. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. Do you know, even there are settings you get to. They say they want to break cola. Say, I am not participating. If you are not sure which kind of setting, don't participate in cola sharing with anybody. If you are not sure, me, I look, there's a way you cola now, you know, is no be mountain they go. I don't have a problem with it. Personally, cola is, what is the botanical name? Colamantus chopularus, I don't know. So I don't have a problem with cola, you understand? But there's a kind of statement you will make. I'll tell you, I'm not touching. Even, do you know even communion? The one we're discussing on Friday. There's a way you will share it, I will not eat it with you. Yes. The one that one man said that in their church, they wanted to share communion. They said, if you know you will ever leave this ministry, don't participate. I will not participate. Even if I'm not planning to leave. Because that's not the aim of that thing. I've heard of people, maybe I've not been there, but I've heard of people who, they share communion, they're like, okay, there's a problem. Let's share communion. Then before we now ask people questions so that if you lie, that kind of communion, I won't participate. Call me the thief, I will not participate. Don't play with demons. Oh. You do things that make demons come into your life. How can you bring the body and blood of Jesus Christ? We are reenacting his death and resurrection. You don't know what it is for. You want to use to catch thief. Why didn't Jesus use to catch Judas? If anything, Judas got power to do his work. So it's true now. If you finish that one, the thieves will steal some more. They will betray you after that. When Jesus gave Judas this thing, Satan entered into him. He went and betrayed Jesus. So pastor that's using communion to catch thief, the guy that was only stealing before, is going to have you kidnapped. You know, I know what I'm saying. Christians, don't play with evil things. Don't play with evil things. Don't. See all those deeds of the flesh they talk about in the scriptures. Keep away from them. But the one Jonathan brought up for us, when I heard it, I said, now wow. Christians do these things. That is where sickness comes from. I'm telling you, you will go. They say they want to go and find out who did something. They say in the village, maybe your husband is from one village, as they have one issue, something, and I say, you should come and swear before a shrine. Tell them, I'm not swearing before a shrine. Say, why? Because if I do, my God will be angry. I can swear. Now, listen, first and foremost, your yes must be yes. Your no must be no. Your no must be no. Now, but if they say, take an oath, you say, okay, I said this before God whom I stand. He hears me. He's my father, he's my judge. If I lie, let him check that. Say, I'm sorry, I won't say more than that. That's the greatest I can say. I'm saying this in God's hearing. I can't lie as he hears me. He said, come and say before our shrine. Say, your shrine is too small. If not my person, kind of person you'll be. Say, wait, I will come to your shrine for one purpose. To declare who's Lord. If your priest leaves 1 week after that, let's see. I'm not coming there to swear. I'll just stand there. Say, Jesus is Lord. High priest, if you don't repeat what I have said in a week, you are gone. If you can't do, just say, I'm not going. Me, I can't. Look, I'll tell you, say. Do you want to try? I said, there's no, I said, not be contest. I go. Ah, that kind of, I go. Oh yeah, Ubulubu come. You, stay there. Let me stay here. As for swearing, I've said what I want to say, but I will go there to demonstrate that my God is more powerful than your own. He said, chief priest, come and stand here. Now I'm going to make a statement concerning who Jesus is. And I give you 1 week to echo it. But if you want to disagree, you can disagree on the spot. And let God handle. Let him show who is God. But swear before your shrine. And I said, come and swear that you don't want to kill your husband. I didn't kill my husband. So come and drink water from the cross. Say, if you like, don't bury him. I won't drink. See, let me tell you, don't play into the hands of the devil. All these traditional traditions say, they will ostracize you. Ah. When my father forsakes me, what happened? The Lord will take me up. Leave this thing. You want to use widowhood to terrorize me? Listen, share that me be widow right now. Okay. Before you know, this will be a community of widows if you don't leave me alone. Christians don't even know how to testify. I will tell all of you, see, say you want to all be a community of widows, Abby? Say they will take your children. Is there anybody whose these children live in their house successfully for 1 month should call me? The children you are taking from me, keep them in anybody's house. If at the end of 1 month, the person is still well, my God is not alive. Better give me my children. Otherwise, I'll unleash my God on all of you. And I'll do that and walk away. When 3 elders die, you will know why they quickly send the ark of God back to Israel. What nonsense. You are a Christian. They are terrorizing you. You are crying. You know where to shed your tears. I'm not drinking any water you use to wash any cups. Are you crazy? I'm not even going to shave my head. I love my husband, yes. But right now, I'm under the priesthood of the Most High. It's forbidden that I shave my hair for the dead. Huh? Why do we just wake up in the morning and there'll be dashing us demons who'll be collecting? Like I tell people, see, let them know who you are serving early. It's not when trouble comes. Now start, ginigo. There are problems Christians have. I said it's because they didn't know who your God was. God helped me in that area long ago. Maybe I don't know how come I was like that. Just recently, I was remembering some things that happened when I 89. I still remember then. Some things, the way they were mocking me in the house. Now, it's not a bad thing though. I remember I told my brother, said, that he won't let my younger brother, who you all know, stay with me. That because I'll just be jumping from one crusade to another. I don't know. It was when I remember this thing a few years ago, not too long ago, that I said, wow, this was around 1988-89. He said, the boy will suffer. I said, why will he suffer now? He said, because you'll just be going from one crusade to another. I said, so they already knew me like that. I can't remember. He said, you just come back. He said, he's sick. You just say, you're sick, eh? And Jesus said, Jesus may be well. Then I'll go again. And it was mockery. And everybody in the house was laughing. So, you know, if as a young student on campus, I'm really getting this kind of mockery in the house, every crazy thing I would do after, they would understand. When I got up one morning and changed my name, everybody understood. Nobody could tell me where to, which area to marry from. You know, the areas just couldn't cross. See, this boy, he done the Christ for a long time. Don't let him insult you. Everybody will pipe down. It's when your Christianity is a discovery, the time you want to marry. That's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. When people are making discoveries about what you really believe at critical times. And you say, husband, you never die. You didn't let them know that you're a Christian in the house. You die finished. It's your widow that will now be confessing that you people are Christians. And you people know, man. That's why she's suffering. Because every age grade ceremony you came, every New Year festival, you were dancing in front, half naked. Shame on you. You couldn't go and do your own New Year festival in church. Come for the New Year festival. Go to the church nearby, carry a basket of yam, and add money conspicuously to your own yam. You don't farm yam. What's wrong with your head? You know the things you deal in. I mean, you didn't do all of that. Then you not, which is why you died anyway. But you know, you not finished dying now. Hey, what? I'm telling you. And your wife doesn't have peace. She says something. That is not the way our brother was. Of course, now. They saw you dancing, you took us all tied to, you took everything. At the end of the day, now you are talking nonsense. She'll wake up that your dead body and flog it. At times you raise you up not for resurrection, but for punishment. We'll beat you well, then you can die again. The Lord is good. Let's bear it in mind. Let's not play into the hands of evil spirits. Don't let, listen. Don't let any, and I'll tell you another thing, a lot of them come to church. If you see anybody raising money, don't let them lay hands on you. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
So when they have some odd things, I'll give you honey to lick, oil to stand on top. See, I'm telling you, all these things, I know what I'm telling you. Come to church today, bring salt for prosperity, and you lick that salt, you are not normal.
I don't know, why do Christ, you know, a lot of these babalawos, they've gone to church. Oh. Is the reason why I like my guy in Onitsha. You know my guy in Onitsha. Some of you don't like, I like the guy. You know why? There's no confusion. The guy say, I'm the war, I'm the fight, I'm the finisher, I'm the power. There's no. But a lot of his, I still see one, there's one little guy with baby face. His picture, as you are going like this, what is that junction? Just look. That guy is a shaman, juju man. You see him. Once you get to that junction, just look on your left. See, if they invite, I give you a commandment. His name is David something. You know him. He has another prophet's name to finish it. All right? I give you a commandment by the Spirit of God. If they ever invite him to your church, don't go back to that church. My pastor said, we don't see you again. He said, sir, this man came. And I don't believe the evil spirits he's brought has left. And I know you probably don't agree with me. That's why I'm not coming back. If that man does not repent publicly for inviting him, don't go back to that church. I'm not joking. If I'm in the congregation, that guy walking, I'm walking out. I won't let him sit in the same hall where I'm seated. See, let me tell you something. This generation, if I enter a church and your money raised, I'm leaving you. I don't even care whether your spirit is genuine or spirit is bad. I just want to take the chance. There's one that came to Enugu that I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the kind of thing he was doing. He told people, you give money. Then you bring your hand, you put on his head so he can pray for you. He wants to pray for you. Then you lay hands on him so he can pray. I don't know. If not me, I say, I want to give again. She even have my money, they cause this nonsense. It's because I brought my money now. Okay, I'm not giving again. Then, that way, you cannot lay hands on me. Since I'm giving money, I've now become your spiritual senior. Money is very terrible. Anybody that allows money to promote people in their presence, obviously that guy's spirit is wrong. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Now, lay hands on me. Listen. Do you know? Mark Angel used that thing to act at the time. I thought it was a joke. Until I wasn't the presence physically. When I heard it, I said, my God, it happened. I want to pray for you. You will put hands on my head. Some people don't know. At least you, I'm instructing. Don't let that happen to you. If you see any shady practice, see, once it's beyond little things like laying on of hands, prophesying, anointing with oil, when they bring any of that in, just tell them, say, wait more. I don't care who the person is, say, I know they do. Say, these other ones are enough. I know there are diversities of manifestation. There are some times that God does odd things. I know. I don't want to get into that now. But I'm looking at the trend, what I see around. Please keep away from evil spirits. Once you see anybody going around raising money, promising that you'll become rich if you give, whatever he's acting, whatever he's doing, do not participate. I'm not saying don't give money. I went to one church once. One guy was talking. I asked the person who invited us. I said, I beg, what is he doing? He said, he's trying to raise money. I said, is that why he must talk so long? Let him, I said, in fact, they said, Baggy, you have come. I said, what nonsense is all of this? This guy has been up there for the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He said, he's in the church, he's the one that raises money. I said, this guy has the wrong, his spirit is wrong. He may be walking, but the spirit is wrong. The story he's telling is not good. If you really have an anointing to raise money, there's a way I know it. You just stand up and say, praise God. We're going to be needing 25 million naira in church because of this and this and that and that. So whoever God has moved upon, all right, please, this is your account number, put it in there. I'm going to send it after 5 minutes. If that money is complete, you have an anointing. You have an anointing. But if you have to wind us for 1 hour, you are not anointed. If you have to promise us what God did not promise, you are not anointed. If you have to bring, you know, honey, oil, salt, sand, everything, pineapple, thank you, watermelon, 1 hour later, you say, I'm waiting for who wants to give 1 million. 1 hour later, you are not anointed. Listen, some people don't know how to know they are anointed. You are not anointed. Those who are anointed, you won't have to say anything. You just get up. It is my responsibility this afternoon to let you know what's going on in the church and what amount of money we'll be needing to fulfill the assignments in front of us. That's all. They won't say more than that. As soon as they start talking, you'll be moved. So the Lord has laid upon your heart, I pray that God will speak to you and you'll be able to obey the will of God. Now that's the account number. All right, you know, just speak like that nice, you know, that's how you know someone who's anointed. You have to shout! Ooh, I feel the anointing. Yeah. You don't have it. Let me just say something about anointing. If you say, it's not the sign of anointing. It's the sign of the person's instability. I know some of you won't like it. But you know what I found out? Is the truth. Some of you that like falling down all the time. Faller. See. Don't be impressed with your own spirituality. Those who are less spiritual, to fall them down, it's hard. I told you, Peter, when anointing came, Peter started. Everybody, you know something there? I just realized something. Peter was not amongst us who were staggering and talking nonsense. Peter was one explaining. See, this is that guy, he's drunk in the spirit. That one is slain in the spirit. Peter was explaining. Peter could soak his own. Is the other one 120 minus 11? They were the ones. Those guys, Jesus had put anointing on their head. They were accustomed to it. Jesus drank the whole. See, Jesus soaked in all the anointing available in heaven that God allows to come to the earth. He soaked in one instant. John said, yeah. It felt like a dove landed on him. Because the guy, think about this. This morning I tried, I don't drink hot things, all right? I don't. I know some of you may be drinking hot coffee. I don't know what you are practicing for. I don't know. Anything hot you want to, first is Africa. I don't understand why you drink hot things. That is, you don't have to agree, but that's me. That's not scripture, just me, all right? So this morning I wanted to drink tea. That when I think that it must cool down first. See? It must cool down first. So I wanted to tell her that it don't cool down. I shouted, drop the thing. But you know there are people. Put that in there. As it is steaming like that. Steaming. So you know you are looking at them like when they're in a hurry, they just drink the whole thing. I expect smoke to come out from their ears. You know what comes out? Nothing. So if you see me shout, it's not the coffee. Are you getting my point? It's me. My inability to take it. So Jesus could take so much, they dropped the whole of heaven in him. He just got up. John, are you done? John said, I saw the Holy Spirit come on him
like a dove. Why? Because when a small fraction of the Holy Spirit entered the house of Samuel, everybody scattered. The king of Israel removed his robe and he was lying down naked. Small. Not the whole thing, though. Small. Just, you know, like there's a reservoir, a full 1,000-gallon reservoir. They just took a teaspoon and shared it to the whole house of Samuel. And nobody could stand. The whole reservoir was dunked on Jesus Christ. And they just wore his coat and went back to carpentry. So John said it was like a dove. Where am I going? The Holy Spirit makes things happen. But don't be impressed with your own scatteredness. I've seen men of God that they say, this man is so powerful, they are holding him to minister. Have you not seen it? You know, like the village masquerade. That is like, they be holding him, Papa, wait, Papa, wait. I said, oh God, you know your masquerade. There's one particular prophet in this country. You know the guy I'm talking about. Some of the old videos, when they got the minister. Oh boy, you are demon possessed. And we know. Some of you, after now, when anointing comes, boy, you'll be calmer. Because before, you were using the excitement to impress the church. Lord, oh, no, says the Lord. Come on, sit down. The Lord is good. If the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you, be calm. Be calm. This is the one we're in school. It was one day, one of our brothers, senior brothers. Some of you are prophesying. We can't hear what you are saying. You see, people, Krimba wants to do when he's prophesying in fellowship. Everything. I'm a children. Everything. I thought I was the only person. I said, is he speaking in tongues? That is interpretation? Or what? And but you know when you are young and there are older people, so older people there, you should just be like. But you can't hear anything. There's something that happened. We now had there's a special fellowship we now had. Those things were not addressed. So one brother now said that, look, if I want to talk to you, and then instead of you hearing me straight from the mic, you are hearing all kinds of background noise. Will you like it? All of us said no. Do you know, after that, everybody that prophesied in that fellowship prophesied with a normal voice. What does that tell you? All the while, it was not the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was our inability to handle strong things. The Lord is good. See, I'm just begging all of you. Those who are listening to me. See, one of the things that annoy me the most, somebody says that, Pastor Panky, you know you are our pastor, and they not see the person misbehaving. Getting confused by false prophets, or even genuine prophets who are lying. You know, there are some real prophets that tell lies. You are looking and say, and you call yourself a disciple of mine. I'm ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What do I title my message so far? I don't even know what to title. But anyway, nobody here should open himself or herself for evil spirits. That's what I'm saying. If you see any pastor that says that guy who died in Lagos, that BBC did this thing. If any pastor tells you a serious prophet has died, stop listening to him. If he calls him our senior prophet, never listen to any prophecy from his mouth again. It shows you and him had the same spirit. It's very important. Don't listen to it. I know what I'm telling you. I see them all the time. A lot of people go to church these days. They carry evil spirits, bring them to church. Hey, and by the way, those of you who put that man's pictures inside your homes, in case you do, now what I'm telling you, take it as a matter of fact. You brought evil spirits into your house. If there's still a remnant of it, go and confess your sins. And burn the nonsense. Burn the nonsense. I don't know how spiritually dense human beings can be. And one way you know that what you did is wrong is that where were you hiding it? Why did they have to be in your inner room? It couldn't be your sitting room. Deeds of darkness. Deeds of darkness. See, let me tell you in this life, make up your mind whether you want to follow the word of God or you don't want to follow.
This one of trying everything. You know what I'm trying everything? You want to block every corner. Only one corner is of Christ. All the other ones is for evil spirits. You hear what I said? Only one corner is the corner of Jesus. Do you know there are a lot of people in this, our country and outside, of course. I'm talking about our nation because this is where I live. So let me talk about our country. A lot of rich men, they come to church, they give offerings. Then they go to the mosque and donate. And the chief priest of their village, they are the ones paying his salary and sponsoring the children. And some pastors will go to their home to go and hold services. Money is very powerful. That's how people who don't have faith behave. Trying to cover every corner. They say, if not Jesus will not they preach, just they will give. What does it take for Jesus to bless us? You say, offering. And they will bring it now. They will build you a church. They have so much money. Some people have plenty of money. They will build you a church. But they will not do what they ask. See, how you will find out, just look at the man's life. Nothing has changed. He's still womanizing. He has two wives, three girlfriends, and others who don't know what to call them. If you're a pastor, such people, don't take money from them. Don't say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. They're not the righteous they're talking about. They are the pastor. You get my point? Let him go to the business place and do business, and then let God take the wealth of Laban and give to Jacob, not you. And that's why he has no respect for you. He has no respect for you. You are a prophet for hire. As you see people like that, tell them it's your soul I'm asking for. Jesus said I should collect your soul so you can serve him. And you go and check it. He doesn't do anonymous donation. He wants you to know. Maybe I'm talking to one pastor. Do you understand? He's listening. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Now that I have warned you, you still go, you keep on going back there. 18 months, your church has closed. Those who bring evil spirits. Things every money just collect. Every money they give you, just collect it. Somebody you don't know wants to bring money. Tell the person, chill first. Others will tell you, don't take this one. And for some of you pastors, you want to invite people to your church. The day politicians are coming, take your offering. See, if your service is 9, they will come late, don't worry. Take your offering immediately after praise, before worship. Do you get my point? Before they come, take your offering. They want to do Thanksgiving. And let them come. Let the Thanksgiving be testimony and praise at the end of the day. When they say offering time, say, it was before you came. Where do we put our own? It has closed for the day. Next Sunday, you can come again. You know, you will have respect. So when they are grown up, they don't carry big money. That's why they don't listen to you. They believe you're a job man like they are job men too. And they are looking at your congregation feeling sorry for them. So the people you are preying upon their souls, their pockets. You strike for them that day. So they want to give. There's nothing to give. No how. Then you give them food. Let them eat. So that you wave them bye-bye. Thank you very much for coming. They don't need your money. And please, if you're a pastor, when you go to government house, don't take money. You hear what I said? When you go to government houses, you should go if you have to go. But don't take money. If they package envelopes for you, don't take. Can. PFN. You people listen. I know you don't like to hear this part of it. One of my friends, she knows what I'm talking about. She says, it's very arrogant. Say, pastor, why? The election was coming. He's a pastor, big pastor in this place. So they're supposed to share money. They gave one pastor money to share. Somebody now mentioned his name. He said he's very arrogant. What does he call arrogance? He knows if I take money to him, he won't take. So how did he describe it? He said he's very arrogant. That kind of arrogance, may you have it.
Amen.
Yes, if you're a pastor, you should have it. Let them know that election time. This guy, we can't give him anything. Okay, let's start our message for today. It's Jonathan that started this one during prayer. And I hope God has used these words to deliver somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles and start our message for today. And you know me. My message must be complete.
Yes, sir.
We are preaching the message of healing. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
It must be complete.
Amen.
I won't say because I warn people against evil spirits, I now won't preach the word of healing. We must preach it completely. Psalm 107. Alright, so we're looking at the gospel of life and health. Remember, total health is our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now what God has done for us, remember, I was saying something earlier, that's some time ago, that's just today. That if anything deviates from this perfect will, an enemy has done this. When we say an enemy, we don't mean a witch in your village. That's not what we mean. We just mean that something has gone wrong along the line. Satan has succeeded one way or the other in infiltrating and planting the wrong seed using the hands of a person, usually the person involved. All right? So what Jesus came to do, I feel impressed upon in my spirit to take a message again on one of our Saturdays to discuss what Jesus came to do for us. He came to deliver us from all oppression. And the way by which he delivered, please notice this, is by washing away sins. The method of deliverance that Jesus came to do was to wash away what?
Sins.
That's what he came to do, was to wash away sins. When he came, John the Baptist had baptized some Jews, and God had applied the remedy of Jesus, actually, to them ahead of time. Because they came with repentance. And for that reason, they were not supposed to be under bondage. So when Jesus came, he went around doing good and healing all who were wrongfully in bondage. It's called oppressed, all right, by the devil. And then anyone who has been set free by their faith in Jesus Christ, every affliction, therefore, is oppression. And the rightful thing is for you to be delivered. And how does deliverance come? Deliverance come. Deliverance comes through knowledge. And deliverance comes through you insisting on your rights in Christ Jesus. You should know what God has done for you. And you get up and declare that this is what the Lord has done for me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you have been redeemed, say it. You wake up in the morning, look at the mirror, say, I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. Therefore, every affliction is oppression. So I reject oppression because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me too. Now what I want to talk about today, all right, reading from that Psalm 107, I just want to emphasize something, how just what I've been saying earlier today actually is part of is the same Spirit that I was planning to preach about, which is why we are reading this portion of Psalms, Psalm 107. I'll read from verse... let me see where I'll start from, please. All right, I'll read about 22 verses. That's quite a lot, but just bear with me. That's from verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Verse 8 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. He said, there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadows of death, prisoners in misery and chains. Now listen to the reason why they went into that misery and into those chains. He said, because they had rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their hearts with labor, and they stumbled, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Now notice verse 17 carefully. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Are you following that? Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. He was talking about sickness, loss of appetite, and, you know, near death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Now, this is another group of persons. Okay? He described a group who were in captivity, who were running up and down. Now, he described another group that were sick. He said, then they cried out to the Lord, verse 19. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Now I'm going to stop reading in that verse 22. All right, so I'll read 22 verses. Now what I want to clearly explain to us today, I said again when I began that please let's not believe a wrong doctrine that makes it look like nothing goes wrong once you're a Christian. That is not founded on scripture. It's not. If you don't follow the precepts of God, things can go wrong. And there are many scriptures to support it. What did Paul say to us? In that 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 11, about the communion table. Let's just open there quickly so that at least it will be that, I mean, that all things I've been saying to you, of course, in none of them am I saying things that are not true. Do you follow my point? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, there's one point some people will want to say that it doesn't mean God caused it. Listen, I'm not saying God likes to do such things. But at least there is a reason why it happened. Whether it is because Satan now jumped on them or God withdrew, because people say that, you see, God doesn't have any sickness in heaven. To me, that argument is nice, it's romantic. You know when something is romantic? You know when they say romantic? Romantic doesn't necessarily mean love. You know, it just means that it's, you know, there are things we say when we are in a light mood. So we can say things like that in a light mood. That God doesn't have sickness in heaven, so where will he get it from? I hope you're getting my point. But it's like saying that I'm not skilled in engineering, so I can't spoil your car. Did you get my point? Yeah, I'm not a skilled mechanical engineer, so I can't destroy your car. Of course I can. All I need to do is losing one bolt, and then your engine oil drains out. And then your car knocks. Have I jumped into the engine? No. I withdrew ease. Even if God does not know how to cause problems, he knows how to withdraw the gift he gave. He knows that one. He knows how to withdraw the gift he gave. If he gave you peace, he can withdraw his peace. And it's in the scriptures like that. He can withdraw the peace he gave. All right? It's in the scriptures like that. What did Jesus say? When you say, peace be unto this house, what happens? Your peace will rest there. Then there's no man of peace, what happens? Your peace will return to you. So it shows that God can take his peace. I hope I get my point. And let's bear that in mind. So let's get these things clear. Alright? But sometimes we often forget the thing that triggers, and that's what the real issue is. What is the trigger for these problems we are talking about? So we see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What did he say there? And verse, let's just start from verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks a cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. Verse 30 says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now, of course, you know what Paul meant by sleep. It's not like you, it's not siesta. Do you get my point? No, it's not siesta. When Paul talked about a number are weak, are you getting my point? And sick. He said, many are weak and sick, and a number sleep. What he calls sleep there is death. But just that Paul doesn't consider that a Christian. So now, that's one thing I want you to also understand.
So it presupposes that the person transiting is born again. Do you get my point? That is, God says, okay, I'm going to withdraw the life with which he is sustained on this earth. I hope you're getting my point. Now, please, there's no argument, therefore, that a Christian's works can bring sickness and premature death into his or her life. I don't think we should be arguing over it. There's no need for this doctrine that says God never does it. I don't know why we go through that. In fact, I'm tired of speaking about it. If you want to argue with scriptures, that's your problem. Ananias was born again, so was his wife Sapphira. They lied and died. You like the rhyme, right? Ananias was born again. His wife Sapphira was born again. They lied and died. That way you can't forget. Do you follow my point? Some say it's not God that killed them. What does it matter? They are dead. Why did they die? They lied. So they lied to the Holy Spirit. Wait. I hope you understand that in your life, the Holy Spirit is also there all the time. Why don't people fall down and die all the time when they lie? There's a simple reason. I can give you two reasons, all right? All right? Two reasons. The first reason is the degree of holiness that was present. If you come to a church where nobody lies and you lie, you will die. Why people don't die now is that lying has infiltrated everywhere. God says, if I kill for lying, everybody is dead. See, the pastor who just finished preaching, see, that testimony he gave was a lie. So for that reason, anybody who lies after that is safe. So why didn't he kill the pastor? It is not every time God just kills. In fact, really, there are times you just look at it, it's not good. Now. And once he spares that person, every other person is spared. The second reason somebody said to me, I mean, listen to the message. He said is that it's not every time God actually judges like that, but sometimes he sets some people as examples. He said, this is an example for the early church. After that, the same judgment will still come, but just will not be that dramatic. Do you get my point? That the judgment is still going to come. It is just that this time around, it will not be dramatic. So, there are those who are still dying for their lives. All right? Where I'm going with all of this is this. People of God, let's understand something. Christians die for lying. Bearing false witness will make you sick. I hope you're getting my point. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Here, not rightfully discerning the body of Christ will make you sick. Many of us, especially those of us who are pastors, we become sick and die prematurely because we don't understand that the body of Christ extends beyond our ministry and beyond our denomination. It brings forth judgment. You can go and start a ministry somewhere and God said that is going to make you sick. And you say, why? Because the ministry is not the problem. It's because there are two other ministries there doing exactly what you are doing. You went there and decided that nothing is being done. And the judgment is not against your preaching. It's not against ministry per se. It is your lack of recognition, your lack of discernment that is not only you, that's the body of Christ. There are churches I hear of, and I said, look, that is why if you are looking for problems, you guys will have plenty. You will have plenty. He said, their members, if you go home, don't go to any other church. This is the only church that God speaks. One day something happened. I think I told you guys the story. I was watching TV, and I saw somebody I knew long ago. He was on TV, and he was leading prayer. So because of that, I just videoed it, a childhood friend, an old friend, oh boy, long time. So I wasn't listening to what he was saying, actually. I was just so excited to see him. Do you get my point? And so I just brought up my phone and videoed. I was watching it on satellite TV. So I forwarded to a few of our friends. Said, look at our old friend, though. All right? So one of my friends, he replied. He said, did you hear what he said? Was he joking? That was when it struck me. I didn't notice initially. So I played the video. It was on my phone. He said, let us pray that everybody everywhere will discard listening to anybody else apart from our senior pastor. That they will not get information from anybody apart from our senior pastor. Let's begin to pray. And it was supposed to be like, this was on satellite TV. All their people everywhere was, and people who followed them were supposed to be praying. And I said, that's how you know tongues that are not of God. Because the Holy Spirit will never, ever. The Holy Spirit of the scriptures would never say that. So if those tongues were real, you know what the Holy Spirit say? Forgive him. He's a stupid man. And that's what the Holy Spirit say. He was only a friend of my point. I said, did you hear what he said? I said, what? Why would he say that? That all of us, we should pray that God should make everybody stop listening to any other person apart from their senior pastor. What is even said, they should discard all sources of information. And it's the one we should be listening to. Then God said, God, no, be man. No, because he says, no, no. I thank God for the kind of God. It's not every nonsense we say that he hears. Now, if you are like that, please, I beg you, stop. Stop. And sometimes you have to take actions to show to God that indeed you have stopped. You see a poster in town. There's a particular minister you admire, you love, and a church nearby that's not your own is doing, and they have a program and the man is coming. Announce to your church members that, you know, this weekend we're supposed to have this program. They say, yes, okay, let's shift to the other weekend. I want all of you to take time out to go and listen to that man. There are little things you say that people will know where your heart really is. Some of us pastors, somebody will bring a wife from another church. And we start examining. And the only problem we have is not whether she's saved or she's not saved, though. Is why didn't you marry from our congregation? And I'm wondering, is that congregation not our congregation? One day, literally happened in this city. A church was building a big project. And one man went there. He called one of the pastors. Said, why are you guys doing this? That guy said, why not? So you are spending this kind of money on a church that does not belong to our brother. And I was like, how can this church not belong, in quote, to your brother? How is it possible? It's a church. So the head of this ministry, because you're not from the same ethnic group naturally, is not your brother. And I was looking at him like, you can't be serious. That is how ministers fall sick and die prematurely. I'm not saying all. It's one reason. We'll pick two reasons now. People who lie. God hates people who tell lies. See, if you want to have problems with your mouth, you'll be using it to tell lies. You will have mouth problem. Do you get my point? See, you will have. You know why? The Bible talks about seven things that God hates. The lying tongue is one of them. It cannot be blessed, a thing that the Lord hates. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Don't hide sin in your body. Don't hide sin in your heart. If you sin against a loved one, confess the sin and ask for forgiveness. Please, I hope you're getting my point. You know why I'm talking about this today? Because I was talking to one of our sisters the other day. She and I were speaking. Something led to it. She now said to me that, say, Banky, I'm tired of praying with brethren who are not willing to repent. He said, if we are not willing to repent, please let us stop praying. So I'm tired of praying with brethren who don't want to hear the truth. I'm tired of praying with brethren who you cannot offend. You can't tell them the truth. See, now, please, one man, of course, I don't need to tell you, Kennedy Hagin has been a tremendous blessing to my life. Not primarily because of his Bible teachings, but more of his prophetic teachings. Are you getting my point? Yeah, his prophetic teachings have been profound in my life, personally. He told a testimony. A man of faith, healed at the age of 17, built his faith for years. It was maybe in his 70s or 80s then, I don't know. I think earlier than that. But more like earlier than 80, maybe in the 70s or 60s, I'm not very sure. He said one day he went to the toilet to go and ease himself. Instead of water, instead of urine, you know what came out? Blood. Ah. And he was like, what is going on? Being a man of faith, how does he handle it? Prayer. So he went to pray. And the Lord said to him, I'm giving you his words. He said, the Lord told him that, what were you doing praying and thinking about starting a church on Rima Bible Training Campus? Because people had talked to him and told him that he should start a church. So he thought about it. So he told the Lord, I wasn't planning to start. I was just thinking about it. The Lord said, no, you're not allowed to think about it.
He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I would never think. He said, good. Then he got well. The same man, you know, when people tell me that they, when you do like this, you jump into Satan's territory. I don't care whose territory you jumped into. Just repent and leave. The same man told us how his wife developed two lumps in the breast. They prayed, joined hands and rebuked and did, commanded and declared the way we normally do healing things. And one vanished. Except that the second one kept on growing. And kept on growing. I've forgotten the details of the story now. I'll try and get it short. Remind me when we get home that I said I want to remember, get this full story, okay? And it kept on growing. So they kept on praying. He and his wife, let's stand in faith. Let's keep believing God. Let's keep believing God. Then some things happened. And then they corrected their lives concerning ministry this time around, of course, in some areas. And then I think they were ministering that evening. Now, I can't remember this other part of it. Okay? I think the Lord, his wife heard, I'm the Lord that healed, or something like that. And she left to go and check herself in the bathroom. And the lump was gone. Hallelujah. And he thought, that what he told us, is that it came because of certain adjustments concerning the direction their ministry was facing. The same man, I'll give you his testimonies. The same man said, one day he decided to leave the field, jumping from one place to the other, preaching up and down, and go and take a church and settle down pastor. A man who God said, I did not call you to be a pastor to start with. What God called pastor, there is somebody, you know what we call pastor. So God used the words we use. It wasn't teachings from scripture, just using the words that we use. So one day God frustrated. See, life can push you till you disobey God. Yes. You'll be discouraged, frustrated. And that's why sometimes God too will show you that I'm worse than life. I don't get my point. Whatever life can do to you, I can do more. I can frustrate you more than you realize. I told you the story Bilakoni told us. After he was frustrated, he told God, I'm leaving. God told him, go. So he dipped his hand in his pocket. He looked for money. He didn't find. He said, hey, so because I don't have money, no, I can't go. Somebody knocked on the door. So the Lord said, I should give you money. No, let me explain. I can't remember the exact song, but let's take it. This one. Not today, this is long ago. He was looking for 30 naira or 30 cup of those days. I think it's a small amount by today's standards. Okay, using our same value of naira. Okay, let's use today's naira. He needed like 5,000. Now, it was not 5,000. Okay, it was long ago. He needed like, let's just say 5,000 naira to travel. So he checked, he didn't have. So he now started praying. He said, Lord, okay, you use poverty to keep me here so I can't go anywhere. Then there was a knock on the door and somebody handed him 250,000. Now, that's not the exact sum. I'm just trying to bring it to this so that we can relate with it. I said, the Lord said, see, I was at work. They just paid us salaries. And God said, I should give. So I withdrew almost everything I was paid to come and give you as God commanded. All he needed was what? 5,000. He saw 200,000 in front of him. Now, please, if you are quoting this, remember, I'm just adapting the figures. These are not the exact figures that he gave. This was long ago. The money had different value reference at that time. He said, then he became afraid. He realized that God was daring him to go. Let me not add words he didn't add. I'm the one that's going to add these words. God said, sure, you never read about Jonah. They go. This is money for sheep. When you get to Joppa, there shall be a boat waiting. The fee is only 50K for the cruise. Enter. It is going to Tarshish. Now Jonah looked low and said, I know they enter. God said, you must go. I said, I'm not going. The Lord said, you must go. How did the Lord say you must go? That man said, you must take the money. He told the man, I can't take the money. That man said, you don't understand. I was told, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I heard God say, go and give him this money. You want me to disobey God? The guy said, thank you for obeying God. But if I take it, I will disobey God. Okay, please, just help me hold the money. Tell the Lord you've delivered it, but I'm asking you to help me hold it. Don't joke with it. That one, Kenneth Hagin said, he got there that day to test. They test you, right? They come and pray, let the congregation hear whether they like you. So he came there. Then he collapsed and his heart stopped. And they began to resuscitate him. Trying to resuscitate him. Then somebody went and called his wife that her husband has collapsed. So she ran down there and told them to leave him. And knelt down beside him. And then now, let me back up slightly. For weeks before that, she had been hearing a voice once in a while say to her, I could take him away and you'll never see him again. And she would look like, who's there? There's nobody. And she's alone in the house.
Then days will pass again. She's washing plates in the kitchen. Then she hears somebody say, I could take him away and you never see him again. Why? Because she had been complaining. She had been complaining that every husband, Abby, every wife has their husband with them. I'm the one I'm going to shop. There's no husband to help me carry basket. I'll just be going out like a single woman like that. I'm the only one doing this. She had complained. God's ears were full. God says, it's not your fault. Now, God didn't say that. I'm the one adding it. Now, you know, I always add to things to make it clear. God says, it's not your fault now. It is because I gave you a husband that is breathing. I'll give you one that's dead. Then let's see where your complaints will start from. And that man too, in human foolishness, he listened to the voice of his wife, decided to leave the, because they were broke. See, don't look at him like, wicked man. No, you too, you've done worse when you were broke. You've taken jobs you're not supposed to do. You've greeted people that you're not supposed to greet. Some people have collected ordination. Do you know T.B. Joshua was ordaining people? Did you know that? Ah, you did not know? It's money. You come. When you say want to submit to his ministry, he gives you money. So when you see, they will not show that one Anglican priest came to join them. He paid the man. Ah. If you are big and you wanted to join, good money. Now, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that you said you've been broke before. You've put your life at risk. Spiritually now, for nothing, because of money. So don't laugh at the man who did it. And if you have been on the field, if host pastors have treated you badly, one brother was talking to me, the other one of our brothers, he explained in his denomination, he has labored. See, he said, if I retire today, nothing guaranteed from their ministry. Big denomination, nothing. And they gave him age, he must retire. But people that he trained in ministry, people that were converted under his watch, who had been promoted to a particular level, they have their future secure by the same organization. You think there's no temptation out there? So let's not laugh at the man. I've told you, before you disobey God, just know that he's more dangerous than anything you're afraid of. God is more dangerous than poverty. He's more dangerous than bandits. If you say, I won't go and preach because of bandits, God says, go home. Scorpion, in your bed, you'll be surprised. God says, look, if I bite you, you wish bandits kidnapped you. You have to train yourself that God is worse than the things I'm afraid of. Some people don't like the way I'm saying it, but it's the truth. Did Jesus not say it? Don't fear those who can kill the flesh. But fear him who, after killing the flesh, he will now take the soul and kill it. After killing the soul, he will take the spirit and kill it. And make a bonfire of your spirit, soul, and body. So somebody say, just shoot your flesh. Say, can you shoot the spirit? He say, no. Can you shoot the soul? He say, no, I shoot the flesh now. Because if I disobey him, I will realize that what you are threatening me with is nothing. Back to the woman's story. It was under those circumstances, after the husband listened to her and decided to, listen, don't let money push you up and down in life. If you have learned what is right to do, do it. Don't be afraid of poverty. Let me tell you something, the worst that can happen with poverty, you just be poor. You can be poor and still go to heaven. You can be poor and still enter your destiny. Like somebody said, look, somebody thinks you are calling poverty now. Rich men, those days, didn't have them. They didn't have spring bed. Don't be straw, did they take sleep? Did they have fun? That you say, when the air is hot, they go and lie under a tree. Some of the things you call poverty now, if you look, rich men of 200 years ago didn't have them. So relax, you're not poor. After those of you, some of you claim you are poor, now if you enter your wardrobe, at least 6 shirts a day, 4 pairs of trousers. You have at least 2 pairs of shoes, 3 pairs. You go and ask Samson in his days, did they take cloth bet? Yeah, they were using clothes to bet. Okay, if I win, how many suits will you bring? You know, if it's now, go to the market, buy a suit and give you. Jesus died, they were doing tumbon tumbon on top of his cloth. You know why? The Romans didn't have anything. We don't care how expensive your agbada is. Now, if we want to kill you, we shoot you and throw away the clothes. Some of the things you call poverty, you don't know how blessed you are. So don't let poverty scare you. Many of us were not really poor. We just that we are comparing ourselves with somebody else. That's the truth. So relax. Anyway, that's what happened to this woman. She decided her husband too must settle down. He too agreed to settle down.
And that was the day he collapsed and he was going to die. And I've told you, God does not do demo. He literally was going to die. Just like Moses was going to die. He was going to die just like Moses was going to die. You know what saved the life of Moses? Zipporah circumcised their son. You know what saved the life of this man? His wife also circumcised her husband, so to speak. She knelt and said, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I will never grumble again. I will never. That if you like, let him be gone for 6 months at the go. He used to be gone for 3 weeks, 1 month, maybe 6 weeks. I don't know exactly how long. The other day I was reading a story. I've not confirmed it, that the exact date. The story is true. Charles Finney got married. He said, let him go and bring some of his things. Another place he went, and his wife didn't see him for 6 months. He wasn't kidnapped, though. He didn't fall sick. He got there. Let me pack my books. I need to go back to my wife. They said, Brother Charles, some people are waiting. Come and preach to them now. So let me preach this night. This night became 2 nights. It became 4 nights. It became 6 nights. It became 2 weeks. As it was finishing, they said, sir, they have heard in Oka that you are preaching and there's revival in Enugu. So as soon as you finish, please, Oka people are waiting for you. That's how I went to Oka and was there for another 1 month. Those people were waiting, say, Benin people have heard. Please, sir, we need revival in Benin. And so they put on for horse. Carry and go Benin. From wedding day till she saw her husband next. So there was no WhatsApp that time. There was no FaceTime. There was no WhatsApp call, video call. The woman didn't hear from her husband, that didn't see him, didn't hear his voice. Maybe he sent a few letters. For 6 months. Maybe some modern day babes. What kind of marriage is that? Elders don't gather. They withdraw you from mission field because you married one Jezebel. It's a Jezebel spirit. It's a Jezebel spirit. Who thinks her comfort and her joy is more important than the assignment of God? Go and ask yourself, what did God give Adam first? Is it a wife or work? I hope you're getting my point. 6 months. Go and read the story. Chasmine, did you see? The way you are looking at me, you cannot even complain now. Because if your husband decides to go to, which country is that? Is that Angola? If he goes to Angola now, as soon as he reaches, honey, are you there? Have you reached there? They will now snap and say, Angola airport. You know. So don't even complain. Every night, bam, you are on the phone. How was the meeting today? Did you see the president like they promised? Okay, bring somebody something from Angola. Okay, every night. So, don't worry. You can never have that Chasmini experience. True. This woman, anyway, she went and prayed, circumcised that relationship, and said, God, it is for you first. It is for you first. You know what happened? The man got up and he was well. Somebody said to me, you see, let's leave the devil out of here. All right? Let's leave the devil out of this matter. There's no time I have fallen, no, ill or something. I didn't ask God, what is going on? I must pray and find out what. Sometimes just God's go and sleep. You need more rest. Sometimes more like, is this the work we gave you to do? Yes. The kind of thing I do, I told that last time that I was out of commission for like 1 month to 5 weeks thereabout. When I recovered myself fully, within a month, I finished a book that I started 8 years before. 8 years, I didn't finish it. When I conquer my head. See, you children, I've conked all of you. Me too, I get conked. You know what they call conking? If you are not being conked, God calls you a bastard. That's what the Bible says. See, only bastards don't get conked. And when they whack you on the head, you should know that somebody loves you. Do you know? You've all read the book, Worship and Sex Control. That also happened to Worship and Sex Control. I got up one day, I said, God, okay, fine, no problem. Where is the book? I started that book 80 years before. I was reading it twice. It was so bad, one day I started writing it. I'd written many pages before I saw the old one. So I'm like, wait, you've written this book before? It was not hard to combine the two, that was not the issue. That is like, I started a book. I had written a number of chapters. Then one day, something made me search something. I got into a folder on my computer.
I opened it. What is this? The same title, because I've always had the title in my mind. I opened the book. That first one, I had written 1/3 of that whole volume. I said it again. The third time. Then again, I abandoned it. The third time. I don't even know how I finally solved it. And I started the book again from the beginning. I started writing. So I'll go through the other two I've written, extract what I could, then deleted the two, and I wrote it. That third one, I think, I still abandoned it too. Yeah, you don't know how stubborn. He still abandoned the book. But at least now I had order. So when I got up this time around, I'd done 1/3 of the book again this time. The balance 2/3 was ready in 1 month. At least for proofreading, for final checks and editing in 1 month. Yes. What I couldn't do in 8 is because your life is not at risk. That's why you can't do some things in 8 years. When they conk you, you'll be amazed at what you can perform. One day, I won't mention their name, one of my children, I don't even know which one, whether it's on my right, I don't know, it's just sitting there. One day I said, go and read this. What was that? About 2 times. I saw him cry years ago. I said, why are you crying? He said, my assignment I have to do is too hard. And my mommy said I should do it now, and I don't know it. So I said, okay. I begged him. I said, okay, go and bring it. Let me help you. No, I forgot what happened. Maybe I told talk to his mother. I now found that the boy wanted to go and play. It wasn't the assignment, something like that. So I whipped out my belt. So, I said, my friend, if you don't go down there now, face your work. If I descend on you, when the guy saw my face, he proceeded to go and sit down on the table and started the work. So now, of course, you know, as a nice daddy now, you use the carrot and the stick. So now I say, okay. This is the stick now, the carrot. Okay, pele, pele. It's all right. Don't worry. Let me help you. He said, don't worry. It's not that difficult. I still remember. I said, what? The guy told me that, don't worry. I can handle it. And before my eyes, it was basic addition and subtraction. It was just counted 8 minus 3, remove it, 5. I was looking at this boy. I stood there. The guy, see, punishment is good for you. No, I know what I'm telling you. Your head was so, he was so aligned. You'd be amazed at the amount of alignment that can come into your soul. So David said, before I was afflicted. He said, but now I obey your word. Why am I telling you all of this? People of God. I told you every affliction, every trouble, first of all, call for what? Introspection. Say, Lord, what are you saying? Something I don't know. Let's not give ourselves over to judgment. Let's not give ourselves over to Satan. Let's not give ourselves over to needless affliction. Look at what he said here. He said, fools, because of what? Their transgressions, they are afflicted. Where did we read that? Yeah, which verse? Which verse? I want verse 12 and 17. What verse? Okay, please, just go back there. I've removed it from my... verse 17, thank you. It said, fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food. See, there are different kinds of iniquities in the life of Christians. Number one, they're straightforward. In, that is sin, that is, don't lie, you lie. I hope I get my point. Don't be covetous, you are covetous. Don't steal, you steal. And one thing about Christians, see, I've been saying it again and again. Never be a kind of Christian inside that you are not outside. See, that one you know you should be outside, be the same thing inside. I hope I get my point. Do you know? Let me tell you, there are pastors, I've heard it again and again. They go in church, they are preaching. Marriage time, they want to counsel women in their church. If the guy is nice, doesn't have to be that, you know, a Christian like that. Yes. When they are preaching, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Oh, bam, bam. They'll be preaching the gospel when they want to counsel you. Not every Christian is nice, though.
Some of these Christians say you don't even know how they are working. You say the guy is nice. Look, husbands are not that easy to come by. So, now if you're a Christian, if you're a pastor, you counsel people like that. See, let me just tell you. The judgment is coming into your life. Yeah, you can't. Let me tell you something I do personally. I pray all the time. God, please, let me not give anybody counsel that will displease you. Because you know what I found out? People do what I say. There are a lot of stubborn people who don't listen to me. Ah, too many. There are plenty, but there are more than those who listen. All right? But amongst those who listen, I have seen some critical listenings. I don't know whether I get my point. They want to go in a particular way, career. You know, like, okay, one of our brothers, I guess, an example. So he wanted to run for political office. So I said, oh, that's nice. Then one day I was just driving. I just remembered him. And I put a call through to him. I said, half of that thing, he says, I said, don't do it. The time is not right. He said, okay, sir. And that's it. He canceled the whole thing. I still remember where I was. I remember where I turned to hit the Port Harcourt Express. I was going to UNTH. I just remembered him. And I just put a call through to him. I said, ah, that stuff you told me about. He said, yes. You know, I told him that it was okay. He said, but I thought about you this morning. And no, I don't think the time is right. He said, okay, sir. And that's it. Called the guys. You don't understand. They had formed committees. Campaign was has started. It disbanded. They said, my Oga said no. One of our brothers was going to go and propose marriage to a woman. He stopped by to see me. He said, Oga, hey. Well-dressed, perfume, you know. Where are you going? Ah, he said, yes, sir, you know that thing I told you. I said, okay. No, he wasn't going yet, yes. We're just talking. Yeah. We're driving, yeah. He said, sir, I just wanted to know that he's planning to go and see her maybe later today. I said, ah, okay, yes, that's very good. And I asked a question. He gave me one answer. I said, don't try it. His countenance fell, but he did not disobey. He didn't. That was it. He remembers it till today. That the only reason why I didn't marry the woman, he loved the girl. Eh? I just said that, don't date. I didn't say two words. So. Even though later he asked me why, and I explained. But that was the reason why he said no. One of our brothers came to see me, you know, went to preach for them in Okadia that day. He sat to me there and said, when he wants to make a decision, he just plays a message. That before the message is over, he knows what to do. He said, one day, then I said this. Ah! He just, bam, that's the decision was made. Such people, they make me afraid. Yeah, they make me up. So what do? I get on my knees. I say, God, I beg. Let me not counsel anybody wrongly. Let me not counsel anybody wrongly. Please, go. Now, it's with prayer. Because if they do what is wrong, God will say, Philip, that was very bad of you. Why did you do it? You know what he will say? Pastor Banky. I know when you mention him, God will not go to that person. Go and read your Bible, you know. It's like that. Adam, then the woman, then suffer. Do you understand? I said, the shift judgment. I said, I don't want judgment to reach my side. Let me be able to stand and say, Lord, this was why I said what I said. These are the rules that I understand. This is what I thought your spirit was saying. And most importantly, let it be right. If somebody wants to disobey, it shouldn't be I shouldn't be the one. Go and read your Bible. God judged the house of Jeroboam for two things. The sin he committed, and number two, the one he made Israel to commit. So if you're a pastor, even though your body is saying one thing, say the one the scripture is saying. I like the way this man said it. What's his name? Larry Bucket. Said one day one brother came to him. Describe how another brother had done him so much bad. So what do you think I should do? Larry Bucket said, you are going to sue him. You are going to go to court. Get a good lawyer. This matter, because business issues. I was very happy. Thank you, sir. I needed your counsel. I got up and I was leaving. Larry Bucket said, wait. You heard what I had to say? I said, yes. He said, sit down. Let me tell you what the Lord said. He said, what I've told you is exactly how I feel. Then brought out the scriptures. Is your brother right? Say yes. And the same church, right? Yes. You did business together, right? Yeah. Read to him that you want to drag him to a court before unbelievers? So that's what I think you should do. But the Lord said you shouldn't do it. That one left the place angry and unhappy. The guy said, it's not me. You know, I told you my opinion. I just told you what the Lord said.
Just by the way, that's why I think churches, for such things, you should have a council of elders. Stop expecting believers to just walk away. Let them drag them before the council. And if they drag you before a council of elders, and you disobey what they have to say, the way your nose will be used to blow whistle. There's a governor in this country. Some of you have given you his name before. His wife reported him to church elders. The church elders called him. He refused to honor. He was a sitting governor. And they punished him. They punished him. You know what happened to him? He lost his seat. He ended up in prison. But those of us watching it, we're just seeing outside things. Was somebody was a member of the church that came and gave him the Jesus. He said, oh God, leave that one they are seeing. That what happened to him was church elders. They said, ah, look at you. You're not a governor. We can't talk again. Oh yeah. These church elders do it like this. They just sat down, joined hands and decreed one or two things concerning his life. The guy's life was not balanced. It was from one crisis to another crisis. Finally, they packed him and locked him inside prison. Stayed there for a long time. Outside, we were thinking it was something else. Those who knew that it was not. It was the elders in the church. These elders, they are very dangerous if they are walking in righteousness. The problem is that some of them don't collect. That's no. If we understood the power in the church, when Jesus said, let him be to you like a publican as a tax collector, it was not a joke. Those guys who withdraw peace from you, you'll not be able to sleep. You know what Paul said? I gave you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Church elders can do that. They just say, what do we do? Say, give him sickness. The guy will be crossing the road there. Moto Gujama. That's it. 2 years in hospital. And they would even date it too. They would go and meet the Lord. This boy is supposed to not repent by now. If he doesn't repent in 2 years and 2 months, you know what to do. The Lord will just tell Satan, sure, I told you you couldn't kill him. Hey, you can kill him now. And that's a small aside telling us, if you're a pastor, be careful the kind of counsel you give to people. Because you give wrong counsel, you bring judgment upon yourself too. You give wrong counsel, you bring judgment upon yourself also. Let me rush through this so that we can go. So what am I emphasizing? What we read in that verse 17. Fools, because of their rebellious way, and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. So even though God has forgiven us of our sins, that doesn't give us the liberty to continue to walk in unrighteousness. We must walk away from the deeds of the flesh. They cause affliction. They do. John said, I pray, using New American Standard Version, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He said, I'm happy when I hear that my children are walking in the truth. Those things go together. The desire of God for prosperity and health is tied to them walking in the truth. You know, I was quoting Ken Hagin earlier, yes. One day I got some of his messages, teaching ministers on divine health. He said, there are things that you pastors must learn and tell your congregation. He said, we can't preach these things in crusades. Why? We have just a little time. He said, so we share the general word of faith, and some will believe, and they will get healed. He said, but the rest are going to come back to the churches. So you have to teach them these things. He said, look, we live in difficult times. You must preach enough hope for people to feel secure. Kenneth Hagin said. He said, but you pastors must also preach so that people will fear to sin, because there will be judgment. In fact, the word he said, there's a lot of trouble and uncertainty on every side. That you need to preach hope for people to feel secure. He said, but you must also preach against sin so that people will be afraid to sin. Otherwise, there will be judgment. I wanted to call those who are shouting, grace, grace, grace. Come and hear what the Oga of faith told. Come and hear what he said. They began to tell us stories. They told us stories. And when they called him, when he was a prophet. So I told all these prophets, I'll be telling you that I go to your village right now. I see your father, and I see your uncle, and I see your nonsense. True prophets call you to repentance. You don't have time for your uncle. They call you to repentance. What do you concern them? Concern your mother-in-law. Why do we keep on talking as if mother-in-laws are a problem? One day somebody posted one joke to my class chat group about mothers-in-law. That what is wrong with having 1,000 wives like Solomon did? He says 1,000 mothers-in-law. I said, well, that's the only problem. I said, listen, I had a wonderful mother-in-law. So if it's because of mother-in-laws, I would have married 10 wives. So I told them, I said, well, what's wrong with all of you? I have classmates who are mothers-in-law. A number of my classmates, their children have married. Everybody kept quiet. Nobody answered. I said, mothers-in-law are good people. You know what? They are just normal people. If Jezebel is your mother-in-law, you are in trouble. If Israel is your mother-in-law, your wife will be very submissive. Because she will learn good traits from her. Are you getting my point? If Lois is your mother-in-law, your wife will have faith. If Eunice is your mother-in-law, in fact, just go and marry Timothy. You know Timothy. Where I'm going to let some people stop prophesying rubbish prophecy for it. Your mother is not a witch. Amen?
Amen.
And your mother can be wicked though. There are some wicked mothers. But your mother is not a witch. You know how I know? You're still alive. She was a witch, but don't dilate, but don't chop you. That your liver looks very nice. They will have used it to cook for a long time ago. So if you are still alive, the woman is neither not a witch or she can't kill you. That prophet that called her a witch is a wicked soul. He's a lying prophet. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Some of you don't go home because of prophets. They have deceived you. Let me not sit down there, but let me talk about real prophets. Real prophets, when you come, they will tell you, oh boy, this one, what you do, no, we ain't going to send you. The way you are spending your money, hellfire spending, this one you are doing, no. They will talk to you. So this prophet said one day, he was in his house. Then the spirit spoke something to him. Then shortly after, one of his deacons ran down. Sir, help, help. His wife woke up in the morning. She was totally paralyzed. Just told him, no problem. Let's go. He got down there. The woman could not move one limb. She was totally paralyzed. You can go to hospital and do a CT scan. And they will tell you which kind of stroke she had. Or they tell you where the nerve got pressed, whatever it is. He just bent over, whispered something to her that her husband couldn't hear, and said, they didn't tell us what. He told her what the Lord told him before her husband came. He said, you need to make that adjustment, you know. The woman said, yes. And then she shook. Her sensation came back.
Wow.
He got healed by repentance. He told us in that message that listen, that if you're a pastor, teach people, warn them against sin, that sin brings judgment. So I went to preach somewhere, one pastor was there. Said, God told him, go to his church, go and preach. The man got there. He prayed for that man for days. The man didn't come for the meetings. I invited the pastor to come. When he's preaching, I've gone somewhere. So finally he told the man, you've not been coming for the meetings. The guy said, sorry. I've not had time. I'm summarizing it. He said, you need to come for one of these meetings. And he told him, see, I don't come because you are preaching what is different from what I preach. If I come, it will mean I'm agreeing with you. But I know what you are saying is right. So I invited you so my people can be blessed. He said, but I'm not going to admit before anybody that I'm wrong. So he told the man. He said, he didn't know when he blotted out. Don't you know you are going to die? Because the Lord had told him, go and preach. This is the last opportunity he has to live. So this is the last opportunity he has. Those are prophets. You know, see, all this one over here, I see somebody in your family. They don't want you to prosper. There's one guy. His name, let me not, very handsome guy. False prophet. Now you do Amaka, why? Nonsense. This is how I used to prophesy. I see your light. It's shining. Your family. But somebody doesn't want to prosper. It's over, it's over, it's over. It will push you. It will fall to the other side. Then it goes to you. You're about to come out. You're about to shine. False prophets. Every single one of them. So it was one of those that were lending the arm of that woman. False people. Real prophets. They don't have time for anybody. It's you. He said, I told the man. So he couldn't hold. He said, don't you know you are going to die? Because the Lord had told him that if he listens to you and changes, he will live. And that guy told him, I don't care. I've seen Christians say things like that in my hearing. You warn them, and they say they don't care. I've seen it. So when he finished his meeting, the next church he went to, he told the host pastor, The church I'm coming from, next Sunday, during service, the pastor will fall down and die on the pulpit. That one was like, which kind of creature have I brought to my church? The next Sunday, that one stood up in church to take announcements. He collapsed there and died. There's one pastor somebody told me about. He used to do one funny thing. Let me not give details for certain reasons. Another pastor in this town, he told our brother, he said to him, say, what this man is doing is wickedness. And you know what happened to the man? When they drove down home, put his head down and died. And when I heard it, I said, look, this other man has said, what you are doing is wickedness. See, let me tell you, God punishes wickedness. Sometimes I read the news, I read things. The other day, one man was talking about how under the proper government, people stole. Did you see the news? $69 billion in stolen crude. And I said, you think God doesn't punish wickedness? Go ahead. You will see. Sometimes, see, because of my experience in life and things I get involved in, sometimes fear. Fear. I will just sit and say, God, see, whatever you want to take from me, take. But don't put me in this kind of situation. See, let me tell you, God will put you in that kind of situation if you are consciously wicked. Pastors amaze me. Let me be honest with you, man. I'm not a perfect man. All right? To God, I give the glory for what I want to say. But I will never say anything that I am not 100% convinced is true. I have never preached a message to you for my own good. Never. I've been preaching and recording in Enugu since the year 2003. I have never preached one message. Either to encourage more people to come to Kingdom Word, or for people to give money, or to buy my books. No! If it's not true, I won't say it. If I'm not sure, I will tell you. This one, I'm not sure. If I've made a mistake to God, was an honest one. No, not because I'm nice, it's because I'm afraid. It's not me that will be going one night, two angels will beat me, and there will be none to deliver. If it's angels, even good, it's when they now leave devils on you. They almost run you mental. I beg you. See, let me tell you the truth. This is surprising if I say it. I can close this ministry tomorrow and I will not lose sleep over it. I'm not joking. Damn it. I'm not kidding. And the way I'll do it, I'll just send a few announcements. There's no meeting. The following week, no meeting. You come, put signboard in front, put signboard on that side. No meeting. You think I traveled. When you see no meeting for 6 months, you start asking questions. As the Kingdom of Ministry has stopped, we don't work again. So what we now do? Nobody's today will get down there. I'll be in the studio morning, afternoon, and night. I'll be recording. I'll be writing books, I'm happy. That's enough. So nobody should threaten me with there's no money. I keep what everybody, you look, God, I gave you the glory. You can't threaten me with no money. What rubbish. You don't know the kind of person I am, baby. When I say pastors will be doing something, I say, because of money. Close the church now. Close the church. I'm only that say, I don't want to be in the corner. And two demons say, hey, don't talk. They say we should beat you. And I look, my father, why have you forsaken me? And wisdom will answer. When I called, did you answer? I said to myself, I don't want trouble for my soul. I don't, see, the way you see me so, I don't want trouble. People say, I want to go here, I want to go here. You know the place I love most in this life, physically speaking? My bedroom. Oh, you know, it's my bedroom. I have a corner in the bed. Thank God there's one AC that's facing the bed like this. Do you get my point? That bed. When this boy was a small boy, wave your hand and see, you used to be a small boy. He will come to my room and be jumping on the bed. He said, that is your bed, is cool. That my bed, I love it. Then during the night, I just stretch my hand and be rubbing my wife's back. It makes you sleep better. You know what that is? I don't want to. See, there are not too many things I want in this life. Someone say, holiday, you're going to Paris. Let me just leave it like that. Honestly, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't want to go. I'd rather go to Udi. Where is this boy who didn't work here? Go to his wife's village. There are some very nice white wine there. Cool, fresh one. You sit under the tree and drink it and eat abacha. No, look, that's one of people lying because of money and wonder. What is wrong with all of you? Do you know you will die and go to hell? People don't know that God sent people to hellfire. See, me, I don't, people say hell, hellfire, there's nothing like hell. I don't know. What I know is that there's eternal darkness. That thing for me is worse than hell. You don't know how dark this universe is, have you? I don't think you do. This universe is dark. If God switches off the stars, you will hate existence. If God just does this and switches off the stars, if God switches off the stars, you can't see anything. Me, I don't want trouble for my soul. That's one reason why I would not lie with this gospel. I don't care how much you want to give me. You say, Pastor, just do this, we'll give you $10 million. I will ask you, so when God is punishing me, how much will you pay him? How much? See, I say something as a joke. Eh? Some people, if they try me like that, I won't leave the place. I will ask that God should punish you in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. Because of the thing you want to push me to. I don't want to even be tempted to suffer like that. Iniquity is deadly. That's what I'm saying. If you're a pastor, start lying. If there's no money, close church. Close church. Say, brethren, we discovered that people here don't like to give money, so there's no money to continue this ministry. So we are going to close it. Bishop Belepo said something those days. He said, God didn't send me a microphone. He said, if you can't hear me, go and bring the mic. I won't look for money to buy a microphone for you. So when God comes, he said, my son, I've sent you a microphone. What? The Lord is good. Did I tell you anything today? Somebody please bow your heads and say, Lord, deliver me from all disobedience. Say, Lord, deliver me from disobedience. Say, Lord, deliver me from disobedience. It's a very important prayer. Some people that are craving the curse of Eve. Say, Lord, deliver me from disobedience. Everyone who has ever joined going to a shrine to go and consult a medium because something is missing, you need to repent now so that evil spirits can live your life. They've been staying there ever since we left that place. They've been with you since, just that you did not know. Repent this night and say, Lord, I reject every work of Satan. I reject every work of Satan. I renounce it. Out of my life in the name of Jesus. Say, I renounce it. I renounce it.